The following aspiration. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fire of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offerings of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely drive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of this offering, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas, or powers. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings and those who can receive them. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will pay respect to Triple Gem mindfully. Buddhaṃ pujayami, Dhammaṃ pujayami, Sanghaṃ pujayami. Okay, you can be seated. We can have about 20 minutes of meditation. So I will off the light. Then after that, you can start. For those who already know how to meditate, you can start straight away. For those who still need instruction, maybe you go back and read the blue book that I given out just now. Especially those who are new. So I will just give a very simple guideline to train your mind. For those who really know how to meditate, you just start straight away. You need to train your mind, then you can start with mind sweeping method followed by metta. If you already trained, then you can straight away go to Anapanasati or any skillful means that you are comfortable with, that you are used to. Then once you have stabilized the mindfulness, when your sati is stable, then you just relax and silence your mind to meditate, to develop the understanding. Mind sweeping method is a very useful technique to decondition your heedless thinking. And it will also train your mind to be at the location you want it to be, and you just feel, you don't think. Feel, relax. That is the key to decondition your heedless thinking. So what I will do is I will give you simple instruction to do that. Relax body and mind. Make sure you have a stable posture. Backbone straight. Then silence your mind. Close your eye. Maintain attention or awareness at your forehead and feel. Don't think, just feel. You can detect any tension, any tightness or any stress within. You just silence and relax every part of your forehead muscle. Feel it soothingly relax. Then you move your attention down to your eye muscle. Do the same. Feel, relax. No more thinking, just feel, relax. Then you sweep it down to your facial muscle. Do the same, just feel. The moment you are silent without thought, you can feel. Then relax every strand of the facial muscle. And in order to assist you to develop inner peace and inner well-being, you can radiate loving kindness and metta following what I will guide you. You can visualize yourself radiating a radiant smile in front of a mirror. When you can radiate a radiant smile, there is joy, there is happiness. And when you do that, your facial muscle will relax by itself because of the joy, the happiness. Then you can start radiating. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. You must feel your body and mind when you recite and radiate. Then you must feel the well-being and happiness that each and every cells within your physical body. Then your mind state too. Then you can repeat, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. May it too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May its mind state to be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy. Then you can extend the same metta to your loved one, to all beings within this vicinity, known and unknown, seen and unseen, and to all kayanamitas. Then you can extend it to all beings within the whole of SS2PJ, Subang, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, our Mother Earth. Then you can radiate to the entire solar system, our galaxy, our Milky Way, and the whole of the universe. May all beings within the entire existence, known and unknown, seen and unseen, all to be well and happy, well and happy. May they too be free from all form of suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now you should be more calm. If you want to continue this metta, you can. Otherwise, you can come back to your facial muscle. Then you feel silent your mind. Just feel it soothingly relaxed and peaceful. Then you move your attention down to your neck. Feel relaxed. Shoulder, do the same. Feel relaxed. Hand, back to shoulder. Feel relaxed. Then you just move your attention to your chest area, where you can feel your heartbeat. You just silence your mind. If you can detect any vibration of your heartbeat, you just silence and stay there. For those who are new, you are not sensitive, you are not trained, it's okay. Then you can just feel like you feel your forehead, relax every part of your chest and your heart area. Then you move it down to your stomach, feel, relax, and abdomen, silent, feel, relax. Buttock, do the same, silent, feel, relax. Your leg, do the same. Then you can reverse the whole of this mind sweeping method, starting from your leg, relax, feel, relax. Buttock, feel, relax. Abdomen, feel, relax. Stomach, feel, relax. Heart area, do the same. Then you move on to your shoulder, hand back to shoulder, feel, relax. Neck, facial muscle, feel, relax. Then your eye muscle, do the same. Then your forehead. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Continue to silent, because this is the meditative mind, this is the silent mind. This is the mind that has become deconditioned from its heedless thinking. It is now more calm and more peaceful. So in order to stabilize this mind state, we need an object of meditation to anchor it. If you don't have any, then you can use anapanasati, which is mindfulness of the in and out breath. You just silence everything and feel your breathing in front of your nostril. Then the moment the mind detects the breathing, like the Buddha said, breathing in, the mind is aware. Mind and the breath as one. Just like you feel your forehead, you feel your breathing. Then breathing out, again aware. The awareness and the breath move as one without thought. If you are new, you are not familiar, within split second you will lose your awareness. The mind will wander off very fast. Don't worry. Just silent, be patient, bring your attention back to the breathing. Continue to train. Every time the mind wanders off, bring it back. Maintain attention, just feel, then maintain awareness. Not long, this anapanasati will stabilize. Then your sati will become very, very well established. Then as you develop sati, you relax into it. Then your mind becomes very quiet, very peaceful. You will experience a type of spiritual calmness called piti. When piti arises, it's a spiritual calmness or rapture that will make you interested in meditation. Then you continue to silent and relax. Piti can transform into sukha. And finally, when you continue to relax and silent, you will become positive. The meditative mind, the silent mind, the tranquil, still mind. Once you are able to do that, then you can use that mind to meditate. Just silent. You will start to understand whatever that arises within your form and mind. because within your physical body you have the six sense door, five physical senses and one mind door. Upon contact, consciousness will come to be. You are silent. You will understand how they function, how they arise and how they pass away. Then how your mind, due to your delusion and non-lack of understanding, stir, react and input all the various type of content that condition you to be what you are. All this you will start to develop understanding and the meditation will develop more and more towards the direction of understanding. Okay, I will now allow you to meditate on your own. Then within about 10 more minutes, I will ring the bell. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have not, slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Then we shall do the invocation to the devas. Turn to page 6 of your chanting book. I will read the English translation. Then I will chant the Pali. Then after that, we will chant the Vandana together. Invocations to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and releases Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine or the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakravalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakka Mokkalang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Bandhata Dhammana Savanan Kalo Ayang Bandhata Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Bandhata Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vichacarana sampanno sugato lokavidu Anutaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi Paseko Opanaiko Pachatang Veditabo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Ucupatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Samichi patipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Yadidang chattari purisa yokane Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savaka sangho Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakineyo Anjali Karaneyo Anutarang Punyang Ketang Lokasati Sadhu 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 Okay, we will pay respect to Triple Gem. Nah? Then we will end the puja and the invocation. Bhadang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. We shall now continue with our second session. Second session is actually the Diamond Sutta. But before we continue, is there anybody who wants to report his or her meditation? Or ask anything related to the meditation just now? Anybody? Nobody? Okay, nobody, then we will continue from where we stopped. We were at page 5 of the Diamond Sutta. This is the Diamond Sutta book based on commentary by Master Xuan Hua. So turn to page 5. I remember I asked you all to go back and read through the poem. How many of you read? Nobody. Anybody read through the poem? So next time you should at least prepare a bit so that you come. You can understand better. Okay, before that, maybe turn to page 4. We have to read third paragraph from the bottom. As light is the characteristic mark of Vajra, cutting is its function. Vajra can cut like the keen blade of a knife, cutting metal, carving jade, slicing through steel as if slicing through mud. That is the power of Vajra. Such sharpness pierces all obstruction and control all deviation. Nothing can defeat it. The mind which is Vajra does not refer to the mind within the breath. That heart is flesh and has very little use when compared to the Vajra mind. The mind of Vajra is also not the false thinking mind. The six mind consciousness, the eye, ear, nose, tongue, body and mind, each has a consciousness. Just like I explained just now. Each and every living being, we have 5 physical senses and 1 mind door. Together, these 6 sense door can give rise to their respective consciousness. And the Vajra mind, which is our true mind, that has the understanding and the wisdom, they are different from this mundane consciousness or conditionalizing mind or the false thinking mind. The conditionalizing mind is part of the 6 type of sense door consciousness. When consciousness arises within your senses, each and every one of them, whether it's seeing consciousness from the eye or hearing consciousness from the ear, smell, taste, tactile and thought consciousness, they all have their content within. So when consciousness and its content combine, then it becomes the citta, the mundane mind, the thinking mind, or the 5 mental aggregates of form and mind. So this is a very important understanding. If you understand this, then it's easier for you to grasp. Anybody don't understand this? The 6 sense door, mental consciousness. Those who are new, do you understand? If you don't understand, you better put up your hand. If you don't put up your hand, I assume you understand. Okay, we will move on in that case. Before that, I need to do something. Just give me a minute. I need to take off this ghost. Because this afternoon is about 11 something until 1 o'clock, 1.5 hours. I had a dental appointment. And it was a very difficult dental surgery they did on my wisdom tooth. And it only end after 1.5 hours, which was 1 p.m. Then after that, I was told the bleeding will continue the whole day. But somehow I think it's now much better now. So tonight, pardon me if my voice is a bit different. So now I need to maybe speak without the ghost. Okay, we will turn back to page 5. Then we continue. Our eyes have eye consciousness, like I explained just now. Your 5 physical senses upon contact of mind will arise their respective mind or consciousness. So the eye can arise seeing consciousness. Your ear can arise hearing consciousness. The nose, smell consciousness. The tongue, taste consciousness. The body can give rise to tactile consciousness. Then the mind door can give rise to mind consciousness or thought consciousness, which is the 5 aggregate of form and mind. So out of this 6 sense door, you have to understand that there is one common denominator. What is it that is common among the 6? The one that occur everywhere. No, it's not consciousness. It's the mind. Because these are all consciousness. For seeing consciousness to arise, you must have the mind to make contact. For hearing consciousness to arise, you must have the mind to make contact. That's why dead men don't see, because there is no mind. Then, dead men don't hear, don't smell, don't taste, don't feel tactile, and there is no thought. That's why they can operate from you on you. They can do autopsy on you when you pass away, without having any feeling. And you cannot arise any type of consciousness. So what you need to understand is, every time when we arise this seeing consciousness, living beings tend to be deluded by this seeing consciousness. Because every time you see something, the delusion set in, you say, I see. We have to discuss this for the benefit of those who are new. When you say, I see, means what? Who see and what see? Can somebody try? When you have this word, I see. Who is this I? You see the thought. Then what else? For normal people, what do you think? Without the eye, you cannot see. So when you say I see, means what? My eye see. Agree or not? Yeah, agree. Okay. Logical. Also not wrong. So this eye can be your eye. Because without eye, cannot see. Very logical. Then what happened when you asleep? Your eye open. A lot of people sleep with the eye open. Can you see? You cannot see. So eye alone, the right sentence is, your eye alone don't see. A dead man also got eye, you open, no seeing. So I alone don't see. Then you try to be smarter. Maybe not my eye, my mind see. So you agree or not? My mind see. So now you say not the eye. Now it's the mind. Because without mind, you cannot see. You say dead man don't see. When I sleep, because I'm conscious, there is no mind, I also don't see. So now you say my mind see. Logical, huh? Then the question where you never inquire, you should inquire. A blind man, he got mind. Can he see? So mind alone also don't see. So you have to understand that I alone, mind alone don't see. So what is seeing? Seeing is a function of what? How does seeing conscious come to be? That's why the Buddha said it's condition arising. Without this condition coming together, there is no seeing. What are the three conditions that need to arise for seeing to happen? First, there must be what? There must be the organ, which is the eye or any organ functioning. Then there must be a mind, understand not? So all these are requirements. Then the third one is what? You have to add what? There must be contact, understand not? If the mind don't make contact, then there is no seeing. Then of course the scientists will tell you, you need external sense data, understand not? Without the external sense data, there is no seeing consciousness. Yeah. So what are the external sense data? Color, shape and form that you can perceive through your seeing consciousness. Understand not? So this color, shape and form, they need light. That's why in a dark room, you cannot see. Understand not? Without light, you cannot see. So consciousness is a function of these three conditions coming together. The Buddha is only interested in these three. He is not interested in the media and all those things, even though scientists are interested. So now you understand, seeing can only arise when these three conditions come into being. That's why the Buddha said, seeing consciousness is condition arising. When condition is there, it will arise. When condition cease to be, it will cease to be. Understand not? That's why blind man, the eye doesn't function, cannot see. He has mind. A dead man, no mind, got eye, cannot see. A normal human being with the eye that is functioning and a mind, if you don't make contact, means you don't put your mind onto the organ of seeing, then there is no seeing consciousness. If your attention is focused on hearing, then your mind is on the organ of hearing. That's why you are very attentive to hearing consciousness. That's why there must be contact. So this reminds us of the physics experiment. Those who study science, they will know, So this one is a light bulb, So this one is light bulb. This one is a switch. This one is the power source, the battery, positive, negative. So what happens when the switch is on? Let's say the bulb is functioning. What happens? The light bulb lights up in there. Agree or not? your organ function the same way. What is this battery? It's your life force, your mind, your energy. When it makes contact, the light bulb lights up. You become conscious of what you see, conscious of what you hear, conscious of what you smell, taste, tactile, feel, or think. This consciousness is condition arising. Can follow that? Yeah? Without condition, it doesn't arise. That's why you don't need a God to make you see. Without condition, seeing consciousness cannot arise. That's why it's condition arising. When condition ceases to be, means what? Any of these conditions not there, the light bulb doesn't light up. If the switch is not put on, if the bulb is not in order, like a blind man, doesn't function. Or if the battery, there is no power, like the dead man, no mind. So whenever there is this condition, then this mundane mind will arise, condition arising mind will arise. That's why upon contact, consciousness come to be. But the Buddha said, this is an automatic process. Understand that? You agree or not? A natural law, nature's law, a natural process. You don't need a God to do it. Just like this physics experiment, it's very scientific, isn't it? Very natural, isn't it? When condition is fulfilled, pop, the light bulb light up. What the Buddha wants you to understand is, this is naturally happening. Without condition, nothing arises. When conditions are fulfilled, then it arises. That's why it's impermanent. We are dependent on condition, it arises. When condition continue to exist, a state, then it will continue to light up. Understand? What happens if the battery drain out? Again, no more consciousness. This one doesn't light up. What happens if the light bulb blow? Again, gone. What happens if the contact get into trouble? So all this, they are naturally occurring. That's why upon contact, consciousness, just like this light bulb, you become conscious. Conscious of what? Conscious of either seeing, or hearing, or smell, taste, tactile, feel, or think. The Mandarin word is very good. They got one word they call 闻性. You heard of this word? 闻性. This ability to become conscious. Understand? It's just like the essence of mind that can make you conscious. 闻性. Not necessarily seeing. It can be seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, or thought. So when you know that these are happening naturally, so like the Buddha said, when seeing consciousness arise, what happened? Yeah? It is condition arising in there. It is very natural in there. It's just the consciousness in there. Clear or not? Like this light bulb light up. No name. Nothing. Understand not? But you associate with what you see straight away. Then you say, I see. That's why this egoic mind come out. Now this one is sakkayaditti. This one is the one that confuses you and creates delusion in you. So when it comes to understanding consciousness, you have to silence your mind in meditation to understand how you function as a human being, how thought arise, how the content of consciousness went in, and how you become deluded because of your habitual tendency, your conditioning, where you have been taught that way since young, education wise. When you are born, they give you a name. Then they say, I see, so and so see. But the Buddha said, if you meditate, you will understand it differently. The Buddha said, in the seeing, there is only what? Huh? The seeing consciousness, only that consciousness, understand? Like this light bulb light up. There is no one to see yet, understand? But through delusion, you cling onto this five aggregate of form and mind, you think there is a person inside there. And that is sakkayaditti. Then you say, I see. Therefore, I am. Understand? That's why you can get happy and unhappy over what you see. Understand? Because you associate, you cling, you grasp you attach to what you see. Smell, taste, tactile, hearing, all the same. Thought, same. That's why this Sakkayaditti is the most difficult to break. And Dhamman Sutta never teach anything. That's why Xuanhua has to put it in Dhamma term to let you understand. But he never explained all this. That's why it's very difficult for you to penetrate. He just tell you, seeing consciousness. He didn't even say seeing consciousness. He said, I can arise I consciousness. But if you read the text, you couldn't really follow. So this is the opening statement that will allow you to penetrate the Dhamma. And this will give rise to clear understanding. Now can follow that? Because there are new people, I have to go back, like revision for the old people. The old people, they understand. But this is a much clearer way to explain, so that you understand who you are, what you are, and how you function as a human being. And why the Buddha said that is Sakkayaditti. Because this I is fictitious, is egoic, born of the thought. That's why thought-based meditation is dead. Thought is egoic. You know why thought is egoic? Yeah? Because thought always perceives an entity. Thought always logically think. Not only thought, I think most of you will think that way. I ask you one question. Are you real? Yeah? Because you think a lot, isn't it? You always say, I think, isn't it? Correct, right? I ask you this question. If you say, I think, is there a thinker behind the thought? Huh? Is there a thinker behind the thought? You 100% say yes. Logical one, huh? No thinker, where got thought? 对不对? 啊,会容笑. That's why human beings are deluded. Sakkayaditti is so strong. How can you deny that logical fact of normal human beings thinking? How can you say there is no thinker behind the thought? Then how does thought come about? Then how do I think? Oh, you are the I think. Then you go into the teaching, they say anatta, non-self. Nobody inside there. No one see, no one hear, no one smell, no one taste, no one feel, and no one think. Then you say, what type of teaching is this? But because you got faith in the Buddha, you say, yeah, anatta la, non-self la. But when you live life, the egoic mind is so strong. No? Everything that you arise through consciousness, you associate, no? You grasp, you cling, you hold. That's why suffering arises. The first noble truth, final summary is what? The Buddha said, well, in short, it is due to your Sakkayaditti, self-delusion, that condition you to grasp and cling on to what? Your five aggregate of form and mind. What are your five aggregate? Nama, rupa, and form and mind. And what are your mind's aggregate? You cling on to your feeling. That's why you say, I feel. Then you perceive things, your loved ones, your possession, your property, your wealth, things that you hold on to dearly. And because you perceive them, you think you can own them, you can have them. Then you say, my body, my house, my car, everything. So this egoic mind, they are so powerful. That's why the moment it arises, you are dead. Because the Buddha already said, suffering arises because you deludedly grasp onto this five aggregate of form and mind, this human being, so-called. Five aggregate of form and mind. But this one I put Arya, enlightened. Why? Yeah? This is typical you, I understand. You, the green color. Can see it? Yeah? Five aggregate of form and mind. First aspect is what? As a human being. Because you have a physical body, you have a mind trapped inside. So the Buddha said, you are these two, nama rupa, form and mind. This is the first aspect. Then why five aggregate? First aggregate is the physical body, rupa, form, your kaya. Then you have a mind. What can your mind do? The Buddha said, your mind can feel, can perceive, can think, can become emotional, can become conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, taste, tactile, feel, and think. Because of that, the four aggregate of mind sets in. That's why this one, the five aggregate of form and mind has rupa, vedana, sanya, rupa, vedana, sanya, sankara, and vijnana. And because of that, if you deluded the grasp to any of these five, suffering will be the result. And this is sakkaradhiti, self-delusion. So the problem with this thought or egoic mind is, when you say, I see, when you establish a I, which is a personality, what happens? Then there is an ego, yeah? Because you believe you exist. Personality. And this one is the ego. Then you believe you exist. And this is sakkaradhiti, the Buddha said. Self-delusion. Or sakkaradhiti. So far can follow, okay? Because of this personality and sakkaradhiti, you know what you will do or not. Because you think you're real, you exist. Then you will develop selfishness, possessiveness. True or not? That is what the evil roots are. You become greedy, greed. That's why greed covers a lot of things. You become selfish. Greedy person is very selfish. If you are not selfish, you are not greedy. Then you have craving, desire, lust. That's why you have attachment, clinging, grasping. All these are the evil root of greed. Then you think you exist. When people make you not happy, what you do? You get angry. You become emotional. Then when people cheat on you, you become jealous, full of envy, jealousy, hatred. And that is the evil root of anger or hatred. Then the last one is delusion, sakkaradhiti, self-delusion. So the Buddha said, when you cling onto this egoic mind, when you arise the greed and the hatred, you are being deluded. And because you are deluded, you cannot understand, that's why you suffer. And when you suffer, you develop all those related mind state that is associated with suffering. How do you suffer? Because you have fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, sadness, depression. All these are delusion. Linked to suffering. Without sakkaradhiti, there is no egoic mind. Because the Buddha said, in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness, no one to see. And you will be very surprised when you meditate. You will come to realize there is no thinker behind the thought. What is thought? Finally, you will come to know, because of memory, there is thought. The kid that don't have memory, don't have thought. That's why the baby, newborn, no thought on. They see things as they are. But that type of mind cannot use for living. You have to see things as they are with all the memory and the conditioning. And that is the real one. Otherwise, see things as they are without memory and conditioning, that is not the real enlightenment. but the mind is quite similar. So what is happening is when you start to understand, you will not be deluded. Like the Buddha said, in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness, there is no one to see. So if you have the direct seeing, you train your mind and you are able to see things as they are, before the word, before the concept, what happened? There is no, because no words, no conditioning, understand? No memory. That's why you don't act according to memory. You don't see according to your views, your opinion, your condition. You see according to your true mind, which has the understanding, which can see things as they are. This one develops wisdom. When you see according to your views, opinion, and your conditioning, you are dead. That's why Sakkayaditti set in self-delusion. So like the Buddha said, in the seeing is only the seeing consciousness, no one to see. So in the thinking is only the thought consciousness. There is no one to think similarly. So how do you realize that? You will come to know the baby without memory, there is no thought. Then thought is respond to memory. That's why you will come to realize every word or every thought that you arise, you have got no known memory of it, you cannot arise that thought. You don't know how to use that type of thought. But because you have experienced it before, through conditioning, through learning, keep in memory, and then you can create that type of thought. So thought is respond to memory. This is very important. Thought is respond. Memory. This one you have to meditate to realize it. If you just take it as knowledge, you can never penetrate. See with your silent mind how thought arises. Then you will come to know there is no thinker behind the thought. The thought thing itself because of response to memory. Yeah. Then you can use it, means you can direct it to think along that direction. That's why you say, I want to think like that, I can. It's because you have this memory. Then you can direct that thinking. But these are naturally arising. Like this physics experiment, upon contact, it just arises. Because you have all this memory. That's why the computer random access memory. The moment it access, it can come up with the data. Understand not? Then it can tell you. You can use it. So meditation is about breaking through thought, going beyond thought, understanding the unreality of thought, unreality of this five aggregate of form and mind. That is why Kuan Yin Bodhisattva under the Heart Sutta, when he illuminated the five skanda with the wisdom light or the wisdom energy, prajna mind, what happened? He realized that these five aggregate of form and mind, they were all what? Huh? Empty. Understand? 五蕴皆空. The five aggregate of form and mind, they are all empty. They are not real. Why? Because they are condition arising, causal phenomena, not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why all these are no reality. Consciousness come and go. Condition arising. When condition cease to be, it cease to be. Like my voice, you can hear. Hearing consciousness. If I continue to speak, the voice will be there. And you can hear. And you become conscious of what I say. The moment I stop, what happened? It ceases to be. You never see sound die. But human being consciousness live, die already, gone. Cry, lament, my loved one, my one. But somebody else die, okay. And that's a human being that identity, that attachment, that clinging, that grasping is very strong. Because you always, through delusion, cling. Not my loved one, they die, doesn't affect me. My loved one, oh, then it affects you. Why? Because you believe you are real. When you are real, you believe others are real. That's why when you perceive your loved ones, you think they exist. Your parents, your children, your good friends, your spouse or whatever. So this is what Dhamma is all about. When you don't have the clear seeing, when you don't have wisdom, when you fail to understand who you are, what you are, and how you function as a human being, Sakkaya Ditthi or wrong view was set in. And this is what the Buddha wants to caution all living beings. You have to meditate, diligently develop the understanding clearly within your own silent mind. At least the theory part help, understand not? Because this will bring forth the initial understanding, pariyatti, learning of the doctrine, the teaching, so that you are not deluded. But as you live life, you realize you know what you cannot do. There is still knowledge. You have not developed the wisdom. It has not become a part of you yet. So what must you do? You must go into phase two of Dhamma. That's why I put this teaching, this Dhamma, into cultivation practice. Silence your mind and see it and awaken to it. And then only you can live it. Phase 3 of the Dhamma, Pativeda. Understand not? This chart is in your notes, Heart Sutta note. The three types of wisdom, the three turning of the Four Noble Truths, they are all clearly described there. So the three phases of Dhamma, they are all there. So this is to give you a clear, deep, penetrative understanding of the stage 1 of Dhamma, phase 1, Pariyatti. So that at least with this, theoretically, knowledge-wise, you know what it is. Then when you get yourself entangled, you ask yourself, how come I still fall for it? Then you come back and reflect and contemplate. How can I understand this? Then all the three turning, the second turning wisdom will come. And when it comes, means you put it into practice. Then you only need Bhavana Maya Panya, the third turning, to awaken. The moment you awaken, you will understand and you can live the third phase of Dhamma, which is this one. The moment you understand this five aggregate of form and mind connected to your silent mind, which is your spiritual nature, this is your spiritual nature or your true mind or your true nature, then it develops the direct seeing. Then it can see things as they are, not deluded. That's why there is wisdom, prajna. So when this five aggregate of form and mind is no longer deluded, this one become an Arya, enlightening, understand? But this fellow is not you, understand? This is condition arising, karmically conditioned out for you to come to this world, this segment of your life. That's why this form and mind is never you, condition arising, causal phenomenon. This one also has this condition. But this one is born of karma, understand? This one is subject to all the nature's law within the conditioned world. But this one, according to ultimate truth, the unconditioned wisdom, not real, impermanent, lead to suffering, not you. That's why you don't deludedly or gullibly grasp and cling. Now can follow that? Now you understand why I rub all the rest, I keep this one. This one, yes. Can, use the mic, use the mic. It will help in the recording. And this one is very important, I tell you. Especially new people.
Good evening. Good evening, Brother.
Yes.
How do we relate sati? This upon contact.
It's very simple. The moment you silent without thought, you are already in sati. That's why I say the whole of meditation is silent. The moment you are silent, this fellow don't exist, understand? Without thought, there is no thought, no egoic mind. Understand? No sakayadity. That's why within the silence, you can understand. You can understand. It's not connected to the content of consciousness. It's awareness before the knowing, before the perception, before the feeling, before the aggregates of mind. That's why that silence, you have to stay there long. You have to stabilize it. The silent mind is a meditative mind. And until throughout the day you are mindful and heedful with the awareness, then only you can see things as they are. You can awaken, you can break through. That's why not until you have stabilized that mindfulness and able to be mindful in the midst of life, means heedful in the midst of life, not only in retreat, there is no real meditation. When you are heedful in the midst of life, most of the time you are aware, that is only the beginning of real meditation. That is the beginning of real understanding. That's why sati sampajana, mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action, all movement in the present moment, which is daily mindfulness, is the real meditation. If you don't do that, you cannot penetrate. To have sati is to be without thought, silent, aware. That's why it's just awareness before the knowing. Yeah. But you have to live life, understand or not? And because you have to live life, you have to use thought, understand or not? Because without thought, you cannot live. You have to see. You have to become conscious. Then you have to use your thought. Because this 5 degree of form and mind got to live, understand or not? That's why you will have all the feeling, all the aggregate arising. But you are not deluded, because this silent mind, the nature behind, can understand clearly that this is not me. So when you know this is not me, you are no longer deluded. Ah, then you don't have to worry about this body getting old, getting sick and die. Understand? That's why the Buddha asks you to reflect and contemplate every day, the 5 daily contemplation. What is it? It's to understand this. That this form and mind, which is the human being, is made up of element, no knowing. Yes, but the physical body is element only, cannot be me. That element go the way of nature. That's why the Buddha said, this body of mine is of the nature to grow old, to get sick and one day die. For it has not gone beyond old age, sickness and death. But this is not me. This is element, go the way of nature. This is form. Understand that? Then whatever this form claim to own, that's why the fourth contemplation, my loved one, my possession, my wealth, my money, everything that you think you own, they were separate from you. Either way, they were separate from you. Either when your breath stops, you cease to exist, they are no more yours. Or condition cease to be, it will also separate from you. Like your loved one, they can pass away before you, understand, due to accident, disease or whatever, or calamity like tsunami, flood and all those things, or war. Then the other one is your wealth, your investment, your possession, economic crisis, or you make a wrong decision in life, you make a mistake in your investment, overnight you lost them. That's why you don't own them anymore. Your house, your property also will be auctioned off because of your loan, because you mortgage them. So if you understand that all this arise because of condition, they can also cease because of condition. That's why you must have wisdom and understanding. Otherwise you cannot. You will suffer. You will become afflicted, miserable. Okay? Can follow, eh? That's why just silent, don't try to know, meditate. Daily mindfulness. You will awaken to it, one. You will become very clear, and then suddenly one day, that awareness inside, completely you don't feel anything, one. There is nobody inside there. And you're very clear, one. Yeah, that is the state that is without thought. Just aware. During the early day, I experienced all this so many times. Then I realized, no wonder living being cannot understand. You know why? They think a lot. They are always up the forehead here. You know what is the forehead doing? this is your memory bank. That's why you think a lot. And this is where your senses are. That's why when you see, you think. When you hear, you think. When you smell, taste, tactile, feel, you think. And here you create so much thought. That's why the whole of the senses is in front of your forehead. And when you are here, I got one teacher. This is hell, is it? That's why they don't stay here. Stay here. Stay at your heart. This is eternal life. But you don't know how to connect, how to stay here. Ask you to feel your heartbeat also, you cannot. You say, monk say cannot. Go to heartbeat wrong. They like taboo, you know, I don't know. During the early day, I remember, you go to retreat or what. Because maybe due to my past cultivation or what. I like to put my hand, I cross leg. Then I feel that if I do this, you call Anjali, I can concentrate very well. That's why I came to understand in the past, Maya now and do this. So, first time I went for a retreat, I still remember, suddenly somebody come and tell me, wrong, cannot, you see. Meditation cannot put your hand like that. Then I say, how come you do prayer, you put your hand like that? Oh, that one different. This is meditation. Oh, very funny. Then I meditate. All of a sudden, I can feel my heartbeat. Then I heard people ask, because I told them I can feel my heartbeat. And then I think that person I go and ask, is it correct that you feel your heartbeat? The monk straight away say, no, never go there. Rising, falling. That's why different people who don't understand will teach you different things. This is what the world is all about. No right, no wrong. Depend on your karma. But like I always said, don't be afraid of going against the norm. If you have realized that you have, after so many years, doing that type of so-called practice or method and technique or meditation, and yet you are not going anywhere, I suggest you quickly change. Try whatever better than going that way, where you will be the same. They say 40 years of meditation using the same technique and method is 40 times one. There is no increase in experience. It's just like people who go into the career field. They work for a company. Then they realize this company is useless. Very kedekut. Very stingy. Don't pay well. Don't treat staff well. Then what happened? They complain. Complain. This company like that one. No benefit. But never want to leave. Always want to stay there. You say until so lousy at that company. Then why are you still working there? I got no choice lah. I need a salary lah. I need to survive lah. Then you sell yourself lah. But at least there is earning a salary. This one you meditate, you don't earn a salary. You pay somehow. And you never wake up that all this practice what they teach you, it never transform you at all. No? It make you more calm and more peaceful for a while you are at a retreat. After that, you come out into daily life, you go back to square one. You realize you haven't changed. You still have your fear. You still have your greed. You still have your attachment, clinging, delusion, sakkāditti. Everything is still there. No? You are still selfish. You still have a lot of those negative tendencies. Then you realize this is not the way, understand? Then why are you still doing the same method and technique and believing that there is vipassana? Maybe your only consolation is because they say one day I will become enlightened. That one day you go and wait. Actually, there is sign one. If you get the right understanding and you meditate correctly, you progress very fast, and you transform. character-wise, personality-wise, everything become different. But when you are not seeing those results, you better wake up. As you meditate, you become more and more heedful, more and more mindful, more and more alert, aware, more and more peaceful, silent, more and more wholesome, with virtue, everything. But you meditate already, you somehow so heedless, think a lot, argue, quarrel, and with all the, what they call, bad temper. You have not changed. And that is not a good sign. So meditation is like that. You know you are stuck, you better examine, then correct yourself. Like Lord Buddha, before he became enlightened, I share with you all that. He was going through self-mortification. No? He actually tortured his body, because the belief at that time was, the more you subject this body to suffering, the quicker you actually overcome all the karmic debt and karmic offense. Then one day when all the karma pay back, you become enlightened. So they believe in self-mortification, torturing themselves. But the Buddha was very wise. He do until he almost died. You know. Then he realized, this is not the way. Then he recalled when he was young, the harvesting festival. That's why he resort back to eat. And when he ate, he go back and have his normal meal. The five ascetics left him. They thought he not serious. But within that short period after he go back and take his food, he regained his health. Then he meditated so well and he became the Sammasambuddha. See? He dared to go against the norm. He knew something is not right. People say all those jhana that the teacher teach him until the 8th jhana, that is nibbana, enlightenment. He said no. He knew he still have a problem with old age, sickness and death. He has not transcend birth and death. Until he became the Sammasambuddha, then he realized, hey, that form and mind is not me. That's why I got no more problem with birth, old age, sickness and death. Because all the while people thought that was them. Then they think they can meditate until they reach the formless realm. They will live eternal life. They never die. But they don't know that law of karma, they have to come back after a long time. So all this is delusion. But when you penetrate and understand clearly the mystery of life, when you clearly understand who you are, and what that nature is, you have different understanding. And that understanding is very penetrative, it's very different, it's not a thought. It's like what the Buddha said, beyond thought, beyond mind. Okay? Now can follow, huh? Wow, almost 10 o'clock, we haven't moved. We are still at the same page 5. That's why our Devan Sutta is like that. Okay, now very fast we can go through. See, Xuanhua just say, I has I consciousness. He didn't even tell you, because you have these senses. The I is one of your senses, 5 physical senses. Because of the I, EYE, this is not the capital I, EYE, you are capable of seeing. You can become conscious of what you see. Understand? That's why the organ can give rise to consciousness upon contact of mind. So these are important. Your eye can have hearing consciousness. You put ear consciousness, very few people can understand. So lay people need, oh, seeing consciousness, I can become conscious of what I see. Oh, yeah, 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 then they understand. Like when you say eye consciousness, what is eye consciousness? What is consciousness also he doesn't know? Eye, he knows, is a physical thing. But when you say you can become conscious of what you hear, then hearing consciousness become meaningful. That I can be conscious of what I see. That's why they always tell you, this world is a phenomenal world. World of what? Sight and sound. You watch TV, you tend to see. This movie channel, sight and sound, the beauty of nature, because you have these senses, your eye and your ear. That's how you can experience the beauty of life, the beautiful melody of great voices, of singers, of nature. That's why you can have this seeing consciousness, your sight and sound. You go to new places, overseas or whatever, then you can see all the great scenery, all the beautiful scenery, then all the nice buildings, bridges and all those things. All these are because you have these senses. That's why they are called the wonders of the world. Without these senses, you cannot experience sight and sound. You cannot experience good food. You cannot chew, taste, smell. Then you cannot feel the nice feeling like in this house, aircon, comfortable. And all. That's why consciousness is very beautiful. That's why the lady that was asked the question, name the seven wonders of the world. This lady named something else because she examined life. The teacher got a shock. The seven wonders are, is it? Of course, he used the word God, is it? God give me eye. Seeing consciousness, that is one of the wonders of the world because it can create all of the sight that I can see in this world. Then God created hearing consciousness, then sight and sound, then taste, smell, tactile, then the mind can think, is it? Then as a human being that combine all this, is it? I can live, I can enjoy the wonders of the world. That's why these seven wonders. So the teacher was so amazed. Because when you never contemplate and reflect, you take for granted that this is something everybody has, so nothing special. That's why you don't live life, because you don't know how to use them. I used to share with most of you all that after I understood the Dhamma 24 years ago, I can just sit around and experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. You know? Every moment of consciousness is so beautiful. Every moment of seeing, hearing, smell, taste, they are so pristine. Because there is no thought. No thought means what? No fear, no worry, no anxiety, no negativity, no all those funny state of mind. There is peace, there is stillness, there is tranquility, there is clarity, and there is this mind that can feel everything, that can be aware of all those beauty of life. Everything is so beautiful, so pristine, and so naturally arising and passing away. And every moment of consciousness is so beautiful. But that is how you live life now. Human beings do the other way around, opposite. Too busy thinking, planning and worrying about life. Every day also boring, like, worry about this, worry about that. After worry about your own health, then worry about your own business, your own property. Then after that, your wife also you worry. Whether got cheat on you or not. Too pretty also worry. The wife too pretty. The husband too rich also the wife worry. So after that, they worry about their children. Then later on, grandchildren also they worry. See? Then their relationship, their career, so much thing to worry. Then every property they buy, they also worry. Got to repair, maintenance, got to pay assessment, quick rent, everything. You complain so much. People who are without house, they say they don't mind paying all this. They only want a house. You got a house, sometimes too many houses, you also complain. Don't know what to do. Because you cling on to them, that's why you don't know what to do. So when you don't have wisdom, you deludedly grasp, cling, and hold, and all this become a burden to you. Understand? That's why my teacher, the Thai monk Achayantra, is the best during the early day. Is it? Why human being got so much problem? Is it? They own too many things because. Is it? He give example. He said, take for example, if you don't own any car, you need car, the car is there, then use it. That's why people offer him car, take him around. So he said that is the best. When you own, you have to pay service the installment. Then accident kicks him some more. Oh, then complain, got to report police. Then scared lose NCB. Then every year I got to renew insurance and road tax. Then gonna scratch a bit also, not happy. So it become a burden. Like you don't own a house, you don't have to worry about owning a house. The one who own the house scared that the title wrong one. People can nowadays land office can chain him overnight and you lost everything. Then you worry about your assessment rent, your quick rent, your maintenance, your utility bill, every month water bill, electricity bill, sewerage bill. Then now you got what other bill? Internet, Wi-Fi, handphone. Wow. Then change bulb. Every time blow or fuse. Then toilet problem. gas problem, kitchen problem, all sorts of things. Then garden, then pest. So, not to say you cannot own, you can own, but with the understanding that they are all condition arising. Understand? If you want to have them, you want to own them, then you have to be prepared for what is going to happen. That they are all condition arising, not so real. So you learn to use them. Don't attach to them. Don't cling on to them. Don't think that they are forever yours. They want to die also worry. Oh, what to do? How to pass on? What should I write in my will? My this son like that, that son like that. Should I give to daughter? Because Chinese old thinking on daughter don't get anything or get very little. So if you think like that, you got a lot of problem in life. Leave. Don't go and worry about life. Understand things clearly. Do your duty well. There is a conditioned world that is subject to law of karma. That duty you must do through wisdom and understanding the nature's law that governs life and existence in this conditioned arising world. The most important is law of karma. And to take care of karma, you must understand the law of the mind. That's why you meditate. Then you must develop wisdom so that you know how to live. Then every life you come, you take care of karma, karma take care of your life. Then everything is so beautiful. But when you don't understand all this, like Reverend Suwana say, gong gong chia, gong gong toa, gong gong, see everything as a gong, you don't know what the hell is going on. So, living beings' problem is like that. They don't develop wisdom. They don't cultivate Dhamma understanding. They believe. Then they want shortcut. Last minute about to die. Scared of dying. Believe in something that promises eternal heaven. Oh, immediately. The moment you baptize, eternal heaven waiting for you. So easy. No need to live life ready. No need to do good also. You can do all the vices and last minute baptize or believe. then you find out for yourself after that form and mind separate, where do you go? Did you go eternal hell or eternal heaven or somewhere else? All this you don't want to find out while you're alive, you believe. That's why very dangerous. Okay, we go on. So after the six type of consciousness, ear, eye, ear, nose, tongue, tactile, and mind. Then Xuanhua said, common people whose awareness does not penetrate beyond the sixth sendo or sixth mind consciousness. Just now we talk about it. Your hearing, seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, and thought consciousness. These are your six type of mind consciousness. This is the condition arising mind, mundane mind. The conscious mind means consciousness with its content, the five mental aggregate of form and mind. So this is not your true mind. So common people whose awareness does not penetrate beyond the six mind consciousness consider this flesh heart to be their true mind. Flesh heart means what? Because Chinese, sing, sim, they say, le sim di ji ping, your heart is here. To them, mind is heart, no? Same word, no? Sing. Oh, that's why Chinese. So he said, you deluded, you think this is your mind. Then people do heart transplant, you become different person. You wear God, you become different person. Your mind is still the same, your consciousness is still the same. So it's just to sustain the thing. So Xuanhua, he put it in that way because he used the analogy of the Mandarin word. He said that is the first mistake. The second mistake is thinking that the false thinking mind, this one is the most common one. What is the false thinking mind? In Mandarin, they call Wang Xiang. That's why Wang Xiang means false thinking. So this is direct translation. That's why English word, sometimes you be careful. It comes from the Mandarin word. False thinking. How come got like that one? Wrong thought I heard of. Where got false thinking? Because from the Mandarin word. They always say, Ta Wang Xiang. When you are heedless, the heedless thinking is Wang Xiang. False thinking. Things that are unfit for attention, like Sabha Asabha Sutta. You're not supposed to think that way. And these are not your proper right thought. These are all your heedless thinking. Habitual tendency. You know what is habitual tendency? Every time react like that, every time think like that, your conditioning, your views, your opinion. You see your wife only, you know what to say already. Or your friend come and disturb you, or like predictable. Press this button, pop like that, react. So this is what you do, so habitual. Because you never straighten your view and correct your personality and become a different person. So the second mistake is taking the false thinking mind or the conditioned arising mind or the mundane mind, easier to understand, as the true mind. As Ananda did in the Surangama Sutta. You remember? Surangama Sutta? The Buddha asked Ananda, where is your mind? Ananda went over. So the mind is behind the eyes, otherwise you cannot see. Then Sakyamuni reprimand him. He's a foolish one. When did I teach you like that? If like that means all those things in Surangama, he reprimand him. He said, this is not your true mind, this is your conditionalizing mind, thinking mind. And Ananda cannot understand, went all over the places and cannot whack. Now he reproduced one section. The Buddha told Ananda, that is not your true mind. It is the dust before you. The empty false mark of thought, see, thinking, which dilute your true nature. Because of this, from beginningless time right up to this present life, you have taken a thief as your son, lost your original source, and thereby undergo the turning of the wheel, which is samsara, birth and death. You can understand this paragraph, the Surangama Sutta. Those who attended my class earlier, they will understand. Okay, for the benefit of some of you who aren't new, maybe I explain a bit. That's why the Buddha told Ananda, I always share with you all what human beings' problem is since birth until now, which mind do you use? I always say there are two types of mind. Correct or not? Two types. Oh, mind. The first is mundane mind, thinking mind, or conditionalizing mind. The second one is your true mind, which is unmoving, eternal, zuzu putong, zuzu putong, suchness, eternal. Which is the mundane mind? This five aggregate of form and mind within here, this consciousness that is trapped inside, this is the mundane mind. Understand not? Yeah, this is the condition arising mind. Through your senses it come up. It is not permanent, it's not real. It only arises when there is condition like this physical experiment. It needs contact. Without contact, there is no arising. So most of human beings' problem is that you use this mind a lot. 99.999% you only understand this mind. And this mind think a lot, very heedless. So this one is the mundane thinking mind, or condition arising mind. So this one is heedless, think a lot. And this one cannot see things as they are. Because when you are thinking, what happened? You are preoccupied with what you think. Then what you think stir because of your views, opinion, and your emotion. So when you are preoccupied with what you are thinking and reacting to, how can you have clarity to see what is going on in life? That's why you cannot see things as they are. Your mind can only do one thing at a time. Lost in thought means preoccupied with all the thinking, all the emotion, reaction, the story that you are going through. Then how can you be aware of the reality? That's why you have to be silent. When you are not lost in thought, you are aware. That's why the moment you are silent, you are already aware. And that mind is the true mind, and you never use it because you're never silent. Throughout the day, you think a lot. That's heedlessness. And thinking come from habitual tendency, respond to memory. That is your habit. See also think. Hear also think. Then saw something also recall think. Hear something also recall think. Sometimes one horn from the back get angry. Why? Memory, conditioning, wrong view. That's why the six sense are so active. When you are in the midst of life, daily life, that's why you cannot cope. Your senses are all fully engaged. True or not? You know how fast mind moves. While you see, you have to hear, you have to think, you have to smell, taste, tactile feel, and do all those things. Then you have to worry about life. Wow, this one not done, that one not done. How? After go there, see who. This one already make you so kipo and so lost already. Then someone got to see traffic. Oh, someone got to observe what people do. You where got time? If you can observe, you don't think. That's why you are not observant at all. Then sometimes people come and call you also from the back also. You like shock like that. Hey, when did you come in? How did you come? Because you are not observer. You are not aware. Where you are busy thinking, worrying. So human beings' problem is they are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. So much so, they never live life. They are never with the moment in silent awareness to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. Why can't you just silent and live? That's why the Zen say drinking a cup of Chinese tea is meditation. It's really life. Because there is true living. You know why or not? They are fully aware. You understand or not? Fully aware means what? No thought. No thought means what? No fear, no worry, no anxiety. Peaceful. Silent. Then fully conscious. That's why every taste, every consciousness that arises, the pristine, very good tea or whatever tea, they can actually experience it. And it's so beautiful. Where there is no interference of thought. When you eat and drink and think, you think you really eat. The mind is eating, but the thought is thinking. You never eat. Only your taste bud, conscious. But you never really experience the food. That's why a lot of these things you need to silence and develop more and more attentiveness to go in deep. So, what the Buddha Sakyamuni is trying to tell Ananda is this is your thinking mind, not your true mind. Your true mind is different. That's why you have to be mindful, aware, silent. The moment you understand, then this true mind, which is connected to your nature, yeah, without the true mind, you cannot connect to your nature. You have to be silent. The true mind is the silent mind, the meditative mind. The moment you are silent, that's why you meditate until no movement. Until the mind is quiet, silent, completely silent, without thought. Then it will experience this. This is your true mind or essence of mind. Essence of mind. The reason why I call it the essence of mind is because this is the one that can be aware even without sense data. You remember just now I said, if I don't speak, no vibration, you cannot hear. So there is no hearing consciousness. So for hearing consciousness to arise, there must be sense data, vibration or sound or music or whatever, then you can become conscious. But what happens if it's stillness, silent, like the silence of nature, middle of the night? How can you perceive it? Who perceive it? But there is no hearing consciousness. Understand not? Because all this condition arising my mundane mind need sense data to arise, need contact. The one that is aware of silence, no sense data. That is your true mind. That is your essence of mind. That's why they call it the wen sik. That can be aware before the knowing. The problem you are is the moment is before you can stay at the awareness, you straight away come up with the words, the concept. Then you create the words, the labeling. Then the mundane mind come out. So you hardly stay here. You hardly experience this. You can only realize this silent mind when you train your mind and develop the spiritual faculties. That's why the hindrance of mind, the five hindrance, they are very powerful. You don't fight them, you don't suppress them, you don't control them. You train the opposite five. That's why puja is very important. Then you do the mind sweeping method to reverse the heedless thinking. That's why mind sweeping method is very important. It will develop inner peace, silent. Then after that, inner well-being for your immune system to come out, for your cell to recuperate, for it to have joy, happiness. So that piti, virya and piti can arise. So all these are part and parcel of understanding so that you can train your mind, develop the wisdom to cultivate. Yeah. So these two minds, you have to make clear distinction through your meditation. But if you don't train your mind and silence, you can never understand. That's why don't be complacent. Go into it, silent more and more, then find out for yourself. Then what is that mind when it's without thought? then you can inquire deep inside. But the trouble is, you don't know how to silence to inquire. You use thought. The moment you use thought, it's no more silent. It's no more that thing. That's why you can never understand. That's why I don't think. Just silent. And stay there. Then you will understand. You will awaken. Okay? Then we move on to the next paragraph. The passage from the Surangama Sutta is very important. It speaks of the sixth mind consciousness, which has an exceptional talent for preoccupying itself with trivial and inconsequential thought. Now you know what is this. Trivial. No meaning one, not important one, very trivial one. Then inconsequential. This is what false thinking is about, heedlessness is about. These are your habitual tendencies. You keep on thinking, and it makes you miserable. This is what wrong thought is all about. Thought that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. But you like to cling on to those thoughts. You like to worry about life. When doctors say, biopsy result come out, or before come out is the worst. I think you got cancer. That one we cannot sleep. waiting for the result. Why? The thought project. What happened if the result is positive? Not a reality yet, is it? See, just a thought. How come it has such power to make you so fearful, so miserable? Who gave it such power? Through your own delusion, you project. And you cling. The reality is what? The result hasn't come out yet. So live life, understand? Whatever will be, understand? Then confront it as you approach it. Before it happened, you already fearful and worried. Then when it happened, you lagi fearful, lagi miserable. Then you don't know what to do. But if it turn out negative, then you jump for joy, you celebrate, you go back, you say, take whole family out or call up your friend, I want to celebrate. Then somebody tell you, first time maybe not correct, no, need second opinion, no. Again your face pucat again. Then how? Life is not like that. One moment happy, one moment miserable. That's why without wisdom, suffering is very real. So we move on. Those false thoughts that are produced send the sixth consciousness suddenly, this one is the best, east, west, north, south, suddenly up and down. One need not sit in a rocket in order to go to the moon. Mind just give rise to the thought, the moon. And instantly one is there. A single false thought send one straight to India. A single false thought send one off to China. One produces a false thought, and the street of Japan are right before one's eye. The same is true of Germany, France, and anywhere one has been. A single false thought, and one is there again. Ananda thought the false thinking mind or the mundane mind was the real mind. So the Buddha told Ananda, that is not your mind. What is it? It's just the empty false appearance of dust object before you. Those who understand, who have penetrated, have the wisdom, they will come to know the whole of this world is just consciousness. A world of consciousness, the phenomenal world of consciousness. And how real can consciousness be? Just an energy image, come and go, come and go. And you hold it like very real. Like now you open your eye. What do you see? Brother's house. Two into one. Break open this one. Got aircon. Got this. So real. Kayanamita. Got cushion. Got brother talking. Real one. Exists already. See? That is the power of consciousness. The Buddha say like a magician. the moment you open your eye, you create already, exist already. And so real, you can touch. You say not real. Huh? Everything. Then what happened when you close your eye? Huh? All the creation gone. No? Oh. And you can see all the color. No? Oh. All the offering. Not real. But the moment you close your eye, this is to be. How real? It's just a consciousness, understand? No? But you retain it through memory. No? Then? You go back, you can talk. Wow, Tuesday class, Brother Teo, wow, all this. Oh, then listen to the recording. Not to say you cannot see all this, but this is how your mind works, understand? That you do not develop wisdom out of it, see clearly that how it functions and how it deludes living being and how it creates falseness which living being grabs. It's very logical, isn't it? Who will tell you this is not real? Understand? Especially before you know the Dhamma, you come and attend this type of class. Then I remind you, wow, all this puja offering, you look, oh, the color, oh, so beautiful. The orange is so fresh, the flowers so fresh. Then Pamasuri, Teo, Michael, all your good friends, all you talk to them, then good food. Oh, you think not real. But they are all consciousness only, you know. Understand? Only within the field of thought, no? Phenomenal world. As real as it can be, what happened? Within that moment, dead and gone. That's why moment to moment life arises. As real as it can be, it's only within the moment. Other thing, no more reality. Then how real can be the moment? Split second, dead and gone. Split second, dead and gone. But because you have this mind, the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the secondary with the memory, you accumulate. That's why Mahayana say accumulate. Ku ji mie dao. Ji, accumulate. Then become real. So, then you can recall the memory. Then you can talk about it. Utao ubui. Oh, then can argue some more. No, no la brother Teo say la de la, not la de la. Oh. Oh, then you don't believe on the recording. Oh. Then argue some more. What is going on? Consciousness, but you cannot see. The real meditation is to penetrate all this with heedfulness, with awareness. Why can I relate? How can I relate all this like with so clear and vivid clarity to you all? It's because I'm fully aware, understand? And I am experiencing all this as I teach and I share. That's why it's to me, I know. To you, it's like very real if I say all this because you can understand. But the wisdom within know that these are all consciousness, no reality. Moment to moment they arise and they pass away. You cannot deny that we went through this session. This 2 hours is beautiful. But then, how real can it be? Within that moment is dead and gone. Then why do you cling? Why do you hold? How come memory has such power? That's why you must understand the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the conditioned arising mind. You must understand what memory is. Thought is respond to memory. That's how you penetrate. Then you're no longer deluded by thought, no longer deluded by what you see, what you hear. But you can still use them to live. Understand? And there is meaning to life. There is real meaning to life. Life can be beautiful. That's why you are not one-sided. Right, you say everything not real, impermanent. I forget about it. No one die. You go and think like that, you sure get into serious trouble. Because you need to have wisdom from both sides to exist and to live. And this form of mind is beautiful. You know how to use it, even though it's not you. And there is such thing as life that you can live and experience, even though moment to moment, like not much reality. But there is such thing as life, there is such thing as law of karma, there is such thing as inheritance. You can have all this. That's why like I shared with you all last time. Ayo, 10:30 already. So fast. We better stop. So I finish off this page. Ananda, thought the false thinking mind was the real mind. The Buddha told Ananda, that is not your mind. What is it? It's just an empty false appearance of dust object. See? Those who can understand. False appearances. You know what is false appearances are? Appear real but not real one. Jiaxiang, yeah. Jiaxiang. That's why you know Mandarin advantage, you know, Mahayana. Otherwise, the English word sometimes are very scary. False appearances. Appearances got false one. But Mandarin, jiaxiang, the meaning different, no? Manifest from your false thinking mind. False thinking mind here means your mundane mind, your conscious mind, as a conditionalizing mind. And dilute your true nature. That's why from beginningless kappa until now, you have always taken that for your mind. That's why you can never understand. To do so is like thinking a thief is your son. So all the while you trust your thought, no? That one day you saw this thought, how it become egoic, create the evil root, and bring about suffering to you and a mess to your life. Then you realize, that is not my friend. That is the deluded mind. That is the conditionalizing mind. Without wisdom, it is very dangerous. That's why the user of thought is very important. If the user is deluded, you will become wrong thought. You will have suffering. It will lead to suffering. That's why you must connect fast, develop wisdom. Then the form and mind connected right up there with the prajna, the form and mind no longer deluded. Then you know how to use thought. Then thought become right thought. Then only Noble Eightfold Path can come about. Understand? Otherwise, it right according to you. Understand? It's still not the true Noble Eightfold Path. Okay, we can stop already. Yeah? We will continue on page 6. So at least tonight we cover one page. Yeah? Not so bad. Sometimes I didn't even move one sentence. So. You asked them Surangama Sutta last night. Didn't even move one sentence. Because that one sentence got so much Dhamma to share. Okay, now we will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits. Then invocation for the nation, blessing for the nation. Then after that, you make your aspiration. We recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed, the merits that we have developed, all of our rejoicing, all of our meditation, straightening of view, listening to the Dhamma, then all of our whatever wholesomeness through the offering, generosity, then our respect to the Buddha, then our renewal of precept, then all of whatever service that Kayanamita has given to our Kayanamita grouping in the form of service, like recording, collection of whatever Kayanamita funds, then helping out in retreat, organizing of spiritual trip and whatever. So all these are very wholesome. So we recall to mind, then we will share and transfer all these merits to all those who can receive them. Initially, we will share with all the devas. Akasata cha bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta watta chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed one. อิทังเมญาทินังโหตุสุขิตาหอนตุญาตโยอิทังเมญาทินังโหตุสุขิตาหอนตุญาตโยอิทังเมญาทินังโหตุสุขิตาหอนตุญาตโย Let these merits accrue to our departed relatives and all those who can receive them, and may they all to be well and happy always. Okay. Invoking blessing for our nation. Devo vasatukalena sasa sampati hito cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the ruler be righteous. Now you make aspiration. Itmina punyang kamina amibala samagamo satang samagamo tu yava nibbana patiya. By the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now you can pay respect to Sakyamuni Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Those who haven't got this book, you can collect them, huh?